Welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Lance Ward, and I'll be your host, and I'll take you back through hopefully what you read with me this last week. And if you'd like to see what this reading plan looks like, you're kind of joining us late, don't ever forget that there is a PDF in the description for this podcast. And if you're listening to us on one of those podcasting services, don't forget to go in and give us a good rating. And maybe because of that, someone will discover this and maybe their life will just become a little bit more like Christ's by listening in. And I hope yours is too. Well, we're in week 24, and we read this week Proverbs 16 through 28, Psalms 40. 117 and 41, Romans 15 through 16, and 1 Thessalonians 1 through 3. You know, if you get into the habit of reading one proverb a day based on the day of the month, what you might also do is trace the themes that run through proverbs, especially any themes that apply to you. Maybe color code those themes. If you were like me, one thing you noticed in Proverbs this week is the prevalence of advice on the words we use. Ouch! Ah! I actually highlighted this week any reference to speech and words like tongue, lips, words, speech, and mouth. And the overall theme, one of the great themes in Proverbs, is basically this: the less you say, the better. And I know that's true, and sometimes I don't apply what that's true, but I've found that it is so true all the time that it's better sometimes just to not say anything. If you're like me and have plenty of gray hair, those of you that are watching, you can see that I have plenty of that. Maybe you can do like I do and post Proverbs 20, verse 29 on your bathroom mirror and remind yourself of your head of splendor. A few verses later, chapter 21, verse 30, this verse really stood out to me this time around, and it said this: "No wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel will prevail against the Lord." Simply put, you may as well obey the Lord in public and in private, because no one will ever get anything past him. Trying to prevail against the Lord is like trying to outmaneuver your shadow on a sunny day. It just ain't gonna happen. You may have noticed how almost all of chapter 26 focuses on the fool, and then chapter 27, verse 22 says this: "Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with grain, you will not separate his foolishness from him." All of us probably know someone like that, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's just sad and it's frustrating, isn't it? Sometimes the fool is someone we work with. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's someone we love, and that's when it really hurts. We do all we can to show them the error of their ways, but they just keep wanting to do things their own way, constantly shooting themselves in the foot. There may be nothing we can do about such people, but we can sure ask the Lord to teach us through them so that we will never be what I like to call a career fool. Psalm 40 starts with, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." I kept thinking about that word patiently, and I wondered, how long is patiently? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it a year? A decade? A lifetime? How long will I wait on the Lord before I give up? Also notice a nice companion verse in Proverbs 20, verse 22. "Do not say, 'I will repay evil.' Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you." This was certainly, as we learned a few weeks ago, David's example to us when he resisted the temptations and pressures from those around him to take Saul out. David waited on the Lord and his promises, and the Lord rewarded him. As I meditated on Psalm 40, verse 5, I thought to myself, the Lord is not just infinitely good, but infinitely good toward me, of all people. It says here, "You have done many good things, your wondrous works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told." One of the best tools we can use in our walks with God is to meditate on all the good he has done for us. This is especially true whenever we feel like he's not paying much attention to us in the dark days and in the hard days. Just this week, I was driving home from, I can't remember where I was driving from, but I was going home after just a hard day. And I looked to my left on the highway I was on going back home. I looked to my left and saw the last sliver of a sunset. It was just so beautiful, just that pinkish-orange stripe on the horizon. And right then and there, I thanked God for reminding me of his goodness. It was like he was saying to me, "Lance, I know it's been a hard day, But let me just show you something. Let me just show off for you. And it reminded me that he is indeed good. He paints the skies every morning and evening. He quietly reminds us through his creation of his infinite kindness. Psalm 41 can be an excellent read when we find ourselves the victims of betrayal or injustice. Let's bookmark that one because such occasions are sure to come our way and we need to respond in a godly fashion. Psalm 117, it has been said, is the central chapter of Scripture, though some say Psalm 118, but it is also the shortest chapter in Scripture. And what an excellent summary of God's grand redemption plan. In one line it says, and there's only a few lines in Psalm 117, but it says, "His faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever." There are a few times in Scripture where I think that summarizes pretty much the whole Bible, and that is a pretty good summary of everything we've read so far and everything we're about to read. His faithful love to us is great. His faithfulness endures forever. Romans 15:4 reminds us the value of knowing our Old Testament, even though living in the realm of the better covenant, the New Testament, where Paul writes, "Whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement from the Scriptures." Because you know, at this time, just about the only Scriptures Christians had were what we now call the Old Testament, and Paul shows us here how relevant its accounts still are. One thing you have probably noticed in this read-through is how God and people are really the same as they've ever been. God is always faithful and good. We humans are inconsistent. We waver back and forth. We obey, we disobey. We repent, and we cry out. Lather, rinse, repeat. That is one message you should get as you read through Scripture. Not only so that you don't become like its bad examples, but especially so that you can treasure the grace of God that none of us deserves. Romans 16:1 through 16 should be an encouragement to the majority of us who serve quietly but may never be known for their faithfulness this side of glory. As is common in many of Paul's final greetings, he thanks and credits a long supporting cast without whom he could not have progressed in ministry as he did. Four of them he calls beloved, yet this may be the only time we ever hear of them. Paul had such a rich understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. He was certainly no lone ranger. He knew that he could never go the gospel ministry alone, but counted on perhaps hundreds of people in his travels, and especially when he was imprisoned. Notice how in his benediction, Romans 16:25 through 27, Paul speaks of the gospel as a revelation, a disclosure, and something made known. The gospel is a gift given, not something we figure out and earn on our own. We did not invent it. We do not get credit for it. We simply received a gift given to us, revealed to us, unearned and undeserved. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. 1 Thessalonians is perhaps one of Paul's most underread letters. It is short, but it contains all kinds of hidden gems. It may be the first or second letter he ever wrote. I think it was probably the second letter he wrote. Galatians was probably first, 1 Thessalonians second. One thing you will notice as you continue reading next week, all five chapters of 1 Thessalonians end with a reference to the return of Christ. Nothing is more hope-filled for the Christian than knowing our Savior will return to make things right. Even in our darkest hours, one thing we can count on is this promise that one day, everything sad will indeed come untrue. We will dwell with Christ forever, free from the dangers, the frustrations, and the fallouts of sin, not only others' sins, but even our own. If you've ever wondered how to specifically pray for those who don't know Christ, you might consider praying 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 and 5. I noticed in 1 Thessalonians 2 how Paul highlighted his mindset of God-centered motives rather than man-pleasing motives in his ministry to the Thessalonians. He says in chapter 2, verse 4, "So we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." Verse 5, "We never came with words of flattery." And verse 6, "Nor did we seek glory from people." At the same time, Paul and his companions lived with a tender devotion toward these people. It says in verse 7, "like a nursing mother," in verse 11, "and a father with his children." Paul and his companions were straightforward with the truth of the gospel, but they delivered it and taught it with tender affection. Paul did not take his cues from the opinions of others, and yet he was kind and uncallous toward those he served. He really cared about them, though he wasn't really concerned with what people thought about him. He loved and served the Thessalonians out of pure love, not from a hunger for their approval. What a model for us and how we can disciple others. As you read through the rest of this letter in the coming week, try to note every direct and indirect reference Paul makes to the gospel itself. Also note how many references you see to hardship and affliction if you haven't already done so. It saturates this letter. In a minute, I want to end today with Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians in chapter 3. But first, for next week, we will finish 1 Thessalonians, then move into 2 Thessalonians. We will finish the Proverbs, then read the Song of Solomon. Only read it if you're 18 or over. If not, ask your parents. And then we'll read Psalm 72, 127, as well as 1 Kings 5 and 2 Chronicles 2. Well, let's end today with Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians, which is my prayer for you as you continue reading. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.